We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
With Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
If I can change and you can change, everybody can change.
On 1080, The Fan.
Good morning and happy Tuesday to you. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you. Ah, the sun. How great was that yesterday? Huh? How great was that?
It was good.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
Don't
I
be
just,
a little
no,
salty
I didn't,
little
I didn't want to come. I didn't want to come over the top of your
My
of your
God.
Of your welcome. So I wanted to say it was good.
Jeez.
You know, I can't what is, out. What is I can't outdo you? The out. Good morning. You got to come in with it. I like to slide into the morning.
Yes.
I don't like to come out guns blazing. Just slip on in there.
Come on, man. Set the
no,
tone.
No, I know.
Let's
that's
go.
Why. That's why I said that's yours. I said I'm letting just slide in there.
Oh gosh.
Keeping it calm, cool, and collected because I'm getting excited for the draft. So
let's go.
I want to be able to control the energy.
Mm-mm.
See, I wasn't the guy.
Go.
There was this jump around cheer at the beginning of every game with the Rams. There was this like. You get in the middle, and everyone does the jump cheer, and there's a lot of the guys are getting in, and they're doing the jump, and then the, you know what Drew Brees, you know, when he gets his cheer going,
oh,
his
yeah.
chant.
Ray Lewis, too.
I value that.
We will protect this house!
And Drew Brees' one is, you know, one, two, three, you know, whatever he chants is, you know, three, four, whatever he's, close my door.
He's just counting.
He's just counting.
He's just counting.
Yeah, so I've always, which, that wasn't me.
Uh-huh.
I got really pumped up by myself. Like, I just wanted to fight everybody. So I just internally said, I didn't want to waste the energy I had. I didn't want to Jameis Winston and eat this W and shove fingers in my mouth.
Yeah, that one was not good.
So I've never been the guy that screams arbitrarily and tries to fakely try to get up and get excited because it's got to be genuine for me. Now, to each their own with everybody else.
My God.
You can temper your excitement. It's not a long explanation. You were asking why.
I know.
I gave you my explanation. You know, I can always smell a fake. I can smell a fake. I can smell fake cheer.
Mm-hmm.
I can smell fake outrage. Boy.
I can also fake outrage.
Falk.
It's all about and really any.
We all know. We all know.
Sports.
Yeah, fake leadership too. We all
this
know
this is
those
quite
guys.
The quite the nose you have, Cam. Being
My
able to smell
God.
All these things.
Yeah,
you smell it. You can't pick that out. You can know when somebody's that way. Is that one of the easiest
you know
things in sports?
What amazes me is people that can't and people that fall for that crap.
With the somebody trying to be the leader or cheering.
Yeah.
I don't fault someone for doing it. I can just see when it's uncomfortable or not in the character. So I go, yeah.
All right. Thanks for dragging everybody down to start the morning. Let's go.
It's positive.
Get the wake-up call. It's positive.
Positive.
What is positive?
I remember
reality.
It was just like yesterday.
I had no idea he scored like this, but and I do not remember this game. 1994, David Robinson drops 71 against the Clippers.
Did you know why he dropped 71?
Because the Clippers sucked?
No, because Shaquille O'Neal was the scoring leader champion, most points. And there was a huge beef between David Robinson and Shaquille O'Neal that year. In fact, they hated each other to the point where at the end of the season, the points leader, the NBA scoring leader of the year, if David Robinson got more than 50 points,
really,
he would have taken over Shaq's lead, and they wouldn't allow Shaq to have it. And Popovich, or in the rest of the Spurs, made sure that David Robinson got the scoring champ so Shaq couldn't, and the beef continues.
Wow.
One of the greatest troll jobs in the history of sports.
Good for them. And what is amazing is that the first round is almost completed in the NBA. This was all regular season.
Yeah, it was.
It was all regular season. And that is another amazing thing, that the NBA Finals used to end in June still. They still end in June, but the playoffs start like 2 weeks earlier.
They had less rest time, which was great. They didn't have 4 days off between games one and two.
No. On today's program, we have contrasting stars, the emerging rookie and the vet. Boy, do they sound different when they speak. Donovan Mitchell versus Russell Westbrook. This Utah Thunder series is actually turning out to be one of the most interesting series in all the NBA playoffs so far.
Very entertaining.
No doubt about it. We have NFL draft talk as there's a new hot name vaulting up draft boards, and there's a lot of guys that are falling, especially from LSU. Plus, late round gimmicks will be in play. We've had a day to think about it. We'll talk a little bit about the Blazers after you've had a day to marinate. You've heard all the audio. You've let it digest. You're still as fired up as you were yesterday. And then we got two fun things for you. John Ryan, CX punter, will join us at 7:30.
Yes, he will.
Got a big announcement from him. And then at 8 o'clock, Boomer Bust, we're going to take a look back at the top 10 picks of each of the last five drafts. And there are some pretty bad picks in there that we all thought, not a bad selection. Booms and busts of the last 5 years. It doesn't take long to see if a guy makes it or not.
Time to wake up.
Okay. Did you see the new world we live in with Julio Jones and what he did with his social media accounts?
Yeah, I saw what he did with his social media accounts, but I didn't. What's the world we live in?
He has privatized his Instagram and Twitter feeds.
Okay.
So you have to ask for approval to follow him.
All right.
And in doing so, he took off any affiliation with the Atlanta Falcons, and he removed all of his Falcon teammates from being his friends and followers on those two social media platforms.
Yep.
And now people are saying he's going to be traded before the draft.
He probably hired something.
There were two reports that he is going to be traded to the Jets and another report saying he's going to be traded to the Giants.
I don't know who's reporting that, but that's one of the dumbest things I've heard in quite some time.
Well, that's the world we live in, Cam.
Oh, so is the world we live in, is it a show?
The guy doesn't want to be on social media, and he's been vocal about this in the past. He doesn't really like being on social media, so he makes it private just so it's his friends and family, and all of a sudden he's going to be traded.
Oh, you asked the question, did you see the world we live in, but you were being facetious.
Yeah, well.
Okay. All right, I got you.
I'm saying it's a horrible thing, but my God.
Panic in the streets.
Yeah, Falcons, oh my gosh, he's going to leave us. No, he's not. Maybe he just doesn't like being on social media. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, wake up. I said wake up.
All right. A bad night for our two teams in baseball. M's got blasted by the White Sox 10-4. Chicago was 4-14 heading into that game.
They had a lot of hits.
Boy, that was confusing.
They had a lot of hits in that game.
The Angels blanked the Astros 2-0. Buck, you're a Giants fan. Is that right?
That is correct.
Well, his team got a win. They beat the Nationals 4-2.
Those are few and far between, though.
Nationals kind of struggling. They're 10-13 right now.
That's early.
But you want to know where the bright spot was? In the Bronx. The Yankees tee off on the Twins 14-1. D.D. Gregorius hits a grand slam. And Giancarlo Stanton goes 4-for-4.
Back to his old ways, man. Just pull the baseballs. He yanked it out of the yard.
Yeah, he hit a homer.
Just pull, man. Don't have to worry about going the other way.
Do you remember his batting average yesterday when we were discussing him?
185.
You know what it is now?
Probably 240.
224, pretty close.
Yeah, see? Very quick. A couple more home runs, maybe about 300.
Early in the year. And the Dodgers slip past the Marlins 2-1.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600, what's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
Wake the f*** up!
All right, in the NBA, Alvin Gentry can thank the Blazers for some cash money. Pelicans gave their head coach their option, and they picked up his 28-19 contract prior to Game 4. So Game 3 did it for him. They said, all right, you're coming back, Alvin Gentry.
Yeah, and he deserves it. He did a great job in the series sweep versus the Blazers and certainly outcoached everybody with a great group of team. I'm sorry, with a great group and a great game plan. This, I'll call it what it is. It's good to see guys get rewarded, even though someone that's had the experience that Gentry has. It's not his first rodeo, but no. He deserved it.
All right, and in games tonight, the Spurs face elimination against the Warriors in Game 5 from Oakland. Greg Popovich will not coach again. Ettore Messina will serve in his stead. That is the back half of a TNT doubleheader that starts at 5 o'clock in Philly as they can eliminate the Heat with a home win. Meanwhile, at 4 o'clock, Game 5 in Boston has the Celtics and Bucks tied at 2 apiece. Marcus Smart was cleared by surgeons to return to action. He is questionable for Game 5 tonight. He's been out for quite some time after thumb surgery.
Yeah, he has.
So that could be a big boost as that series is even and back in Boston. Nobody's won on the road in that series. Home team holding serve through the first four games. Last night, though, we saw one of the more impressive offensive outputs that we've seen in quite some time. The Rockets shoot the lights out. How impressive was it? That is next at 6:12 on The Fan. All right, we are trying to figure out something. In the break, I went down a Wikipedia hole. I'm trying to figure out the history of the championship ring after we were both looking at Alabama's championship rings.
It's beautiful.
Oh, my God.
It's iced.
150 diamonds in their championship football rings. And you asked me the question, where did the championship ring come from? And I'm doing, like, it's interesting reading going on here. Right now I'm reading about how European sports really don't care about anything else but the team championship, but individuals want to be rewarded in American sports. And that's kind of how it started.
Oh. Individuals want to be some sort of trophy that they need to have.
Yes, individual in I'm reading about how in Europe.
Why is that not surprising?
In Europe, they just In Europe, they just want the team trophy.
Yeah,
and they don't care about the individual prize. But in North American sports, the individual wants to be rewarded, so they give them a ring.
That's a great discussion. What does Europe have as their signature trophy? I know ours is the Lombardi. It's going to trump everything.
Well, they have...
But I don't know. The Stanley Cup might be right there with
Champions.
It.
It's the Champions League trophy, I think. It's like a little weird... Is it the plate? Is it like a plate?
I don't know. I think of individual trophies when I think of European. I think of Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. I think of the Claret Jug.
Claret Jug, yeah.
I don't think of a team trophy that you have. And here in the States, we have... I've just mind blanked on the Major League Baseball's trophy.
The Commissioner's
Trophy. Commissioner's Trophy. Thank you. Gosh. Yeah, we got to think of the Lombardi, and I certainly think of Stanley Cup.
Which Commissioner's Trophy may be the worst in professional sports.
Yeah, I think it is.
It looks like it would really break
if I breathed
no,
in it.
No, second worst. The college football playoff kind of looks like a female anatomy part, you know?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
It's a little weird. That one is odd.
The trophies, what is the best?
Stanley Cup.
By far.
I mean, that's awesome.
By far. You get to take it with you.
Yeah, and you get to party with
it. You get to have it around. I can drink out of it. Stanley Cup is by far the best trophy we got.
They have guys with little white gloves that carry around all the time.
What about the green jacket?
That's an individual.
Green jacket, trophy. Gold jacket. Who gives a...
We're going team. And then, we have the NBA championship, too, which is...
The Larry O'Brien's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
I like it.
My favorite scene ever is Michael Jordan hugging his first one and crying about it. I still remember it. So that it's kind of an individual, but it's more about the team.
The Lombardi Trophy just looks awesome.
You know what the grossest part?
Powerful.
Do you remember what I tweeted during the Super Bowl?
Nope.
Or you probably don't. So who was walking down in front presenting the trophy as they walk through the entire players group? And it starts off and it's beautiful and it's shiny.
Yeah.
About 15 steps into it,
grimy,
greasy handprints. And you know how many guys kissed that trophy as it walked by?
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
It was a Yeah, that's the most spit swap I've seen since the first time mom showed me. Not mom.
Wait, no. What? Wait, what?
That was a joke.
Cam, how'd you learn how to kiss?
No, think about it. The Brady household. No, I mean, think about it. How much spit swap was on that thing? I was grossed out beyond grossed out.
And dudes are adjusting themselves.
But it was handprints.
Touching it, and then you kiss it, and then that's the whole deal, man.
You just had grandpa's nut butter all over that thing.
Gross.
I know it was gross. That's
that I'd might give be it, a drop.
I'd give it a little fist pump as it walked by, but the kissing, you can get me an alcohol wipe.
Yeah, that'd be great. Somebody sanitize.
Where's your hand sanitizer? Okay, between
now
that.
Now I'm good. All right.
Anyhow.
Moving on. How about those Rockets, huh?
Meh.
Meh?
Meh.
Meh.
I did see that Chris Paul put his house up for sale, $7 million, because he's an hour away from the facility. He was tired of driving.
Yeah.
So he bought 18 bathrooms. He said, that's too many bathrooms. I need to sell this house.
Wait, how many? Is that a real number?
It's an 18,000 square foot home. It's got 18 bathrooms.
It has 18 bathrooms
18
in it?
Bathrooms. $7 million.
Yeah, you don't need that.
It's an hour from the facility. So the Houston Rockets were like, look, you probably need to be a little closer.
Yeah.
It's getting too far of a drive now.
Traffic
for
gets
you.
Really bad, too, in that area.
Yeah, I haven't been to Houston in quite some time. But,
yeah. And so he's
real world problems.
First world problems, too. No, what I'm talking about is you're giving a meh to the Rockets leading by one at halftime. They were up, 50 to 49? And they end up leading by 30 at the end of the, or excuse me, 31 at the end of the third quarter.
He had a big quarter.
They outscored the Timberwolves 50 to 20. And James Harden in that quarter had 22 of his 36 points in the third quarter. They put their foot on the gas and absolutely demolished the Minnesota Timberwolves.
The best part about watching this basketball team, I guess the most intimidating part of the Rockets is that they shot horrifically in the first half and they were only down 1 point. Not only did they shoot horrifically, they were down 1 point and they come into the third quarter. Eventually, they're going to make some shots because you know it's going to go in droves. They're not going to stop shooting. In fact, how many threes do they have thus far in the series?
I don't
know. It's like 157.
They've taken 157 threes.
It's incredible.
But they averaged 43 a game and last night they shot 43 threes.
Yeah, so they're going to get their shots up.
Yeah.
And eventually they're going to drop, but it's how they play defense is what makes and keeps them in the game.
Yes.
I would say they're probably the most athletic group because they are so long and so fast and quick, and everybody plays good defense in that starting five.
And one of the things about
even James Harden a little bit.
When they start turning it on, right? You start shooting a bunch of threes as well. And last night you kind of saw that with Minnesota where the Rockets went 7 of 25 in the first half from three. They were shooting 28%. And as I was watching that game, I was going, this is the frustrating part about the Portland Trailblazers, that they were getting wide open looks in that first half, and they weren't able to convert them. And we saw that Portland was getting wide open looks all over the floor against New Orleans and couldn't convert them. And they were never able to turn the corner. The Blazers were. Well, in the third quarter, the Rockets go 9 of 13 from beyond the arc, 14 of 23 from the quarter. They shoot 61% from the field in that third quarter, and the floodgates open, and Minnesota tried to keep up by shooting threes as well, couldn't do it, and they put up a 30 spot in the third quarter.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was reluctant to see how this Chris Paul and James Harden project was going to work. I really was. I thought about this type of ball-centric shooting guard and off guard that was James Harden, who can play the 1-2 and plays as much of that. And I thought he was going to have a problem with way Chris Paul was such a floor general and do it. But he has become an excellent, not just Robin, but lets things happen. And Chris Paul's made him a superstar. James Harden was always a great player. But I'll tell you what, Chris Paul has made him a superstar.
He made him from elite into an MVP. Yeah. And right now you're going to look at James Harden and he will be, in all likelihood, the MVP of the NBA. And when you're able to have a quarter like that, I mean, only two guys have outscored their opponent in a quarter this year individually, and that's James Harden and LeBron James. And they've been outstanding in this postseason. And I don't like Harden, and I don't like the way he flops around, and acts like he gets hit with a club every time he goes through the lane. But I respect the guy's ability to score the basketball, and he's not doing as much of it in the playoffs this year.
You know, there's this thing, too, about James Harden, about his flop ability. I've learned to appreciate his scoring ability, his athletic talent. His personality is still not something that I gravitate towards. But this flopping thing is not just a James Harden. I mean, I heard LeBron James complain exactly, telling everybody, oh, I can't believe that everybody in Indianapolis and exactly Lance Stephenson, look at how he said something about how he got caught up in recess where he stuck his nose in and got caught. You know, they always catch the second guy. Yet in the back end, there is a montage of LeBron flops who might be as egregious or as egregious as anybody in the fake flops.
Uh-huh.
I think it's an NBA problem. It's a stars problem. Even if you look at who are the best and why they're the best at it, because they need to get their fouls. And this is who they are. So this flop thing was James Harden. It's not that I say he's the worst at it, but boy, does he's crafty.
Yes, he is. And that's
he knows how to use the referees to his advantage.
What's frustrating, though, for LeBron James, and I can understand this, is the fact that he sits there and he gets hacked all the time and nothing gets mm-hmm. called. And it's like really like egregious fouls. And then so he's like, what do I have to do to get a call? And then he starts flailing and I lose it like you do right there. I mean, your point's valid. He flops all the time, but I don't blame him after some of the times he gets hit and he doesn't mm-hmm. get a foul call.
I'm just calling this as I see it. I'm really looking forward to Houston and Golden State in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I don't know. I jinx, whatever you want to call it, what it is. Looking forward to it.
The Rockets right now are up 3-1, and there were some vulnerabilities through those first three games of this series.
Yeah.
Boy, did they just. And James Harden said it after the game. He said, We flipped the switch. We started knocking down shots, and that's what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And if that translates, this is going to be a bloodbath at the end. I mean, it's going to be bare-knuckled brawl between those two teams. And hopefully they get there, you know?
Hopefully they're getting there.
Well, hopefully they do. You never know.
For the sake of the NBA.
You never know.
And Adam Silver and television ratings across the world, they better get there.
Yeah, true that. All right, 55305. The other game last night had the Jazz and the Thunder going at it. Vicious cockfight between those two teams. Contrasting stars, though, a rookie versus a vet, and boy, do their roles sound like they're reversed when you hear their post-game press conferences.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
249-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird and desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Fan text line. The Utah Jazz take a commanding 3-1 series lead over the Oklahoma City Thunder last night with a 113-96 win. Donovan Mitchell doing it again for Utah in the fourth quarter alone. He was a man amongst boys, and he's just a rookie as he scored 9 points on 3 of 6 shooting, really pulling away for Utah in this win. But it was after the game in which you sat there and you went, oh boy, we've got some contrasting styles between the two stars in this series, Russell Westbrook, the reigning MVP, and Donovan Mitchell, the rookie. And both of them talked about, and this is after the game 3 against Utah, when Russell Westbrook was asked about guarding Ricky Rubio.
Did you feel like your aggressiveness was appropriate to defend Rubio with in this game tonight?
What do you mean?
In the sense that you picked up 2 fouls pretty early in terms of the aggressiveness you were using on him. And
it's not about me or him. Let's get past that. We're done with that.
Russell Westbrook, everybody. Yeah. After a loss, Ricky Rubio, he kind of goes off again, to an extent. Only 13 points, but 8 assists, 6 rebounds. He kind of got in the dish of Russell Westbrook. And then you hear Donovan Mitchell about that Russell Westbrook rivalry with Ricky Rubio.
I think the biggest thing is I'm just focused on the task at hand. You know, I think the biggest thing with me is if I start to think about the individual stuff, you know, and think about all the stuff that really doesn't matter to the team, that's when you kind of lose your head and you kind of, you don't give your all for your teammates. And so I've just been focused on just trying to help in any way I can, you know. And I told Ricky just now, I said, I'm happy I had 0 turnovers tonight. So that's what I'm happy about. But it's definitely an honor to have the record like that. It's definitely an honor. There's no doubt about that. But we have one more game, so I'm focused on that.
33 points from the rookie. And through his first 4 career playoff games, he has set the scoring mark for an NBA rookie.
Well, there's something special about that young man. And there's just something so appealing to somebody when you listen to it in their voice. We were talking earlier about being able to find it. And when someone is genuine, you could hear it. You can tell. And this, you know, the NBA is full of a bunch of individuals. And certainly professional sports is all about an individual ability, because that's what separates you from an MVP and a star like Russell Westbrook. It gets to the point now when you're in the playoffs where individuals are not going to carry you. And so this is why you get a rookie. A rookie has figured out that, hey, how do I make my team better? How do I become a champion by beating a star? And not just one star, 2 all-stars and 1 legendary player who, yeah, he's on the tail end with Carmelo Anthony, tail end of his career. But it doesn't mean that these 3 players should be better than what Donovan Mitchell's been able to do. And what the way he's been outcoached, outplayed, and emotionally, I look at Russell Westbrook and go, is that what you want to start your franchise? Donovan Mitchell, Russell Westbrook. Who are you starting your franchise with? Because I look at that, and you always got to figure this out for yourself. Who do you value? What do you value? And how do you want your leadership to be? I'll tell you what, I can break it down. Russell Westbrook is a great guy, probably to a chosen few. Does that make sense? There's a small window of guys that he probably really likes or gives you the who he really is. Other than that, he comes across as sensitive, mm-hmm. insecure, mm-hmm. always about me. And unfortunately, that doesn't work in team sports.
Well, and petty.
Never has.
And petty. He's very petty. We saw when, and really, this isn't to say that Kevin Durant isn't petty, because I think both of them have a lot of the same issues when it comes to their thin skin. But Kevin Durant liking another Instagram post where it was a comment bashing Russell Westbrook and then saying, mm-hmm. oh, it was an accident. But Russell Westbrook has been just as petty with the cupcake pictures and, you know, the cupcake stuff and trying to bash Kevin Durant. Like, he has done things, I mean, well after guys have left to kind of keep things going and not moving on from them. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, they mimic Russell Westbrook's attitude. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see it. Ricky Rubio got into Russell Westbrook's head in game 3. And in game 4 last night, it carried over. And Donovan Mitchell mm-hmm. is a guy who's sitting there and he's doing it on his own. Paul George, Joe Ingles got into Paul George's head last night, and he kind of shut down just the same way that Russell Westbrook does. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, your team takes on the attitude of your leader, and what you're seeing with the Oklahoma City Thunder is that they're doing the same thing as Russell Westbrook.
It's going to always be about what Westbrook wants. This is how he controls not only controls the narrative, he controls the tempo to it. You know, and P1 Jesse does a good job, and you want to throw in the Blazers in that. You can always tell genuine. He says, just listen to Dame and CJ talk, and you can tell the difference. You got to be some just be open to and listen to it. Some of you can hear it, some can't. I think it's very clear when you listen to Westbrook talk what he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
It's himself. His own agendas. In fact, going after Rubio last night, he picked up 4 fouls, and he was trolled by Mitt Romney, which is hysterical, and I'm listening right. to this. I'm good. It's Mitt Romney trolling you, holding up the 4 horsemen at you because Four. You do that. Yeah, I mean, go. Yeah. Still, you spent the entire first half worried about Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, I think 2 of those were offensive fouls in the first half.
Doesn't matter. That already meant that there was a point where Westbrook just said, I'm more concerned about stopping this guy.
And the crowd, too.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And he let it all affect him, though, mm-hmm. to your point. And you see that Donovan Mitchell, all you need to take out of that thing is just listen to Donovan Mitchell. He says, the only thing I was worried about was zero turnovers. I told Ricky I was more happy that I had zero turnovers than anything else.
Yeah.
Team versus me. And that P1 Jesse comment on listening to Dame and CJ, if you bring it back here and locally, you do have a little bit of that where you go, is he meaning what he's saying? When you hear CJ McCollum talking about, you know, the apatheia of a way of thinking when it talks about his shot selection, and that's all he's really worried about is just coming to his own. It seems like there are times when he is reactionary to what everybody else is saying around him.
Oh, gosh.
Even
called himself a lion the other day.
It.
He got really upset at Quick because Quick said something and just went really whiny petty on the Twitter bot and just said that. It's so easy now to just so quickly just put it out there for the world, and you don't really think about it. Used to be you'd get ridiculed or something upset you. You immediately just told that to that person's face, or you called them on the phone, or you had time to... So now you just immediately just go put it onto Twitter. So you have time to really think about it and listen. And do I really want to put that out there? I'm telling you, I'm listening to Dame and CJ. They're two different contrasting styles of human beings. Mm-hmm. One is different. One is the other. I prefer genuine. Mm-hmm. Dame is genuine. CJ is still at the point in his career where it feels like he's trying to appease people, but then he's sensitive. That's part of young athletes learning how to handle meeting, how to handle criticism.
And that's what the amazing part about Donovan Mitchell and why people fell in love with him prior to the draft is that, you know, from a skill set standpoint, it wasn't like you sat there and watched him at Louisville and were like, yes, that's the guy. You knew he was a good player and a nice player. A lot of people here in Portland were clamoring for Donovan Mitchell. And when he went 13th, we saw it. I mean, there's a lot of people really upset that he kind of slipped past. Well, he's proving why he's every bit of it right now. I mean, the guy is playing out of his mind in the NBA playoffs. And Donovan Mitchell is one of those guys where it's rare to see it at a guy who's so young and doesn't have any of this experience. But you're looking across at the guy across from him in Russell Westbrook and going,
all the accolades.
How do you not get it by now?
We know.
How do you not get it at this point in your career? And that is why I don't think in a lot of these texts coming at 55305, you don't trust Oklahoma City past the first round. 55305, it's 642 on the Fan. Donovan Mitchell joins an exclusive list. Over the last 50 years, rookies that have scored at least 110 points in their first four playoff games, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, and Donovan Mitchell. Most points in a fourth quarter during the 2018 playoffs, Donovan Mitchell is number one with 36 points, LeBron James, 35, Anthony Davis, 33. Ooh, Anthony Davis, 33. Oh, boy.
Stars born.
And I think it may have been born a little bit before this, too, because this young man is playing out of his mind. Some text at 55305. When contrasting Donovan Mitchell and Russell Westbrook, Westbrook is a mental midget. That's why he'll never win a title, coming in at 55305. I think there's other reasons why, but that is one of them, because you can sit there and say that Russell Westbrook's style of play isn't conducive to getting beyond the first round. And there's plenty to go with that. But when it's compounded by the fact when adversity hits, he shuts down mentally. Absolutely, that's why he won't win a title.
I'm enamored with the athletic talent and ability. But there's always the separation factor, too, with great athletes. Let me tell you how hard it is. It is extremely hard to figure out once you make it to the top level, because when you're the young kid, you're the best kid on the team from birth, from out of the womb. When you're someone that gifted, you're the best team from every small youth team to you play. Then your middle school, then your high school, then your college. And by goodness, you're the best on every single team you've ever played. And how do you separate that once you get to the top? I mean, no one's ever looked at Westbrook and said, hey, stop being you because you're still the best athlete on the court. But now you're even at the highest level and you still can't get over the hump. You lost James Harden, a teammate. You lost Kevin Durant, made it to the NBA Finals in 2011, and then that's it. That's it. And you just look at this and go, What can he do? What will he do? Will he be a better player? Will everybody jump ship? My biggest question is everybody leaving him in the offseason?
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that you look at it, not just this offseason where everybody could leave him. That would be just a revolving door of people that have said, I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And they move on, whether it's James Harden or it's Kevin Durant or guys that end up thriving when they leave. Just look at what Victor Oladipo is doing in Indiana right now in the playoffs. I mean, he's been outstanding for the Pacers, and he's been outstanding all season long. It's like people thrive when they get away from him, and that is something that, as the texters are saying, like you couldn't have known before Russell Westbrook was actually drafted that he would be this way, because at UCLA, they had success, and it wasn't like he was like, it's like Russell Westbrook got it in his mind that he could be he could get triple doubles and get so much credit for being a compiler that he just changed his game completely and went away from team, because when they had Harden and Durant, he was more of a team player than he is right now.
Yeah.
You know, when he had Kevin Durant and then went to the Western Conference Finals, like he was able to share the ball, but then he just went, no, screw this.
It might be a little bit of the, it might be a little bit of the LeBron factor. Is it, you think you can carry when you're the best player in the world or you're the king or you, but LeBron James is, he makes everybody around him better. Like as much as you want to say it, he can be a point forward. He can be a center. He can do everything. He facilitates the ball. And I understand Westbrook gets triple doubles. He facilitates, but what is it? If we could just put a finger on what makes him not able to get over the hump, is it just his attitude, the energy that he sucks? It's like a vampire sucking the negativity that he's always bitter, angry. I've never seen that guy look at the end of a series or a game and go, he looks like he's having a good time. Right. And it's not that I need that, though. But when you look at somebody who has to get over the hump and be not only fight for a championship, but just I almost look like he doesn't enjoy being out there. Like Donovan Mitchell
like
last night. Well, it's not that it's painful. It's just that it's a job, and I want to treat it like a job. But there's a fire and energy you see from him, and it's disingenuous. It just doesn't feel like he's connecting with anybody.
Wait, you think it's disingenuous? Because I just think that's who he is. I think he has fun playing basketball.
I don't know if that is really him. I think he's trying to be somebody he's not.
Russell Westbrook, really?
Yeah, I don't know. It is strange to me because if you learn it in college and then you learn it in the get-go, you know, I always say that the people are who they are, but I look at him and I go, does he really need to be this way? He's got good players on his team.
That's why I feel he is exactly who he wants to be, and he wasn't before, which is
I want to give someone the benefit of the doubt sometimes.
Me. You heard him talk.
Yeah, I know.
What has he said that makes you feel like what he's doing on the court is any different? Like, when he talks, you sit there and you go, that's a me guy. When you watch him play, you're like, that's a me guy. Like,
but he's had nothing. But thing is this texter says Westbrook will not be a winner because until he eats some humble pie. He was the league MVP, got bounced in the first round. He's going to get bounced again with a team that everybody said should have contended in the West. He's been eating humble pie forever. What? That's why I feel like,
no.
Who's in this guy's ear?
He's being served it, but he's not eating it.
No.
Like, you could put it, you could lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah, I can't force somebody.
Like, that is, like, he has got a table full of humble pie, but he wants a steak. And that's what Russell Westbrook is doing right now, is, like, he's refusing to eat it. It's sitting in front of him, whether it's the Western Conference Finals, whether it's watching James Harden go and have success, whether it's watching Kevin Durant go and win a championship. His front office, Sam Presti, give that guy a ton of credit because he's brought in more talent to be like, look, we can help you if you change. And he's like, nope.
What's the most important thing when you're learning to teach athletics or when you're a superstar or even you're the best player on your young team, your youth team, your high school team? What's the characteristic you're looking for from that person? Plays well with others.
Yes, in
plays well with
others. In a context,
doesn't that sound stupid?
Especially in a context of a team sport like basketball. Yeah, you have to play well with others.
And how do you do that? I mean, if I drew up a sign, or a picture, if I held up a picture of one man on the planet, one person, and this is, you can take your opinion on whatever you want, but when I want to say plays well with others, there's got to be something too. There's got to be a charisma or a feel, and I'm going to hold up a sign of Magic Johnson. That's it. End of story. Mic drop. That's it. When I look at something and I go, okay, he's a generational person, That's really hard to do now for a lot of players in today's sports world.
Well, I think what's making it tougher.
Worst shot in basketball from a point guard ever, Magic Johnson. I mean, he was a terrible jump shot. 6'9", kind of gangly, not really super explosive. Okay, good dribbler, elite passer. Magic Johnson didn't do anything at the elite level. He just did it all really, really good. And I look at Westbrook, he's the same guy. He's got not a great shooter, not a great passer, very good rebounder. He does it all really, really good, but what's the separation factor?
Well,
just kind of an a-hole.
The thing about it is that making it harder is the success that LeBron James has had, and he is the guy that doesn't play well with others either, right? He's very critical of his teammates, very hard and divisive in the locker room. I think that doesn't help it either. Yeah. I mean, he kind of blackballs some of his teammates, and he's the best player in the world, right? Like, nobody's going to say
anything about that
right now.
So you're telling me this is LeBron James has shown a generation of young people, including Westbrook, on how to win a championship blueprint, yet they forgot the part of the 6'9 cyborg?
No, well, yeah. I'm not saying
the cartoon
that,
character.
I'm not saying that exactly.
From Marvel.
I'm not saying that exactly, but they look at a guy who's supremely talented and is not considered a great teammate to everyone.
This is
to some people he is though, and they love him.
Take this for what it's worth, and I'll beat the dead horse all the time. Michael Jordan did it. He did it. He trained Kobe. He trained LeBron and said, this is how you do it. But nobody gets it through their thick skull that it takes elite ability to do that. You are a generational one and done. Mm-hmm. Just as I said yesterday, and we get into our pissing match with each other about tanking. You can tank. You can do all those things. But behind the curtain, you need elite leadership, elite talent. From the Cubs to your Astros to whoever gets to that point, everybody can tank and everybody can say, I can beat Michael Jordan, punching guys. That only works with that one caveat of you have to be the best in the world at your job. And that's when it works. Not everybody can repeat. Just because it doesn't prove that I can just sit there and everybody can do it. If I'm really good, I'll just do it this way.
Coming back to this, Russell Westbrook is the prime example of it. The guy is one of the most talented guards playing in the NBA. I mean, he can do all of it, but his talent doesn't outweigh his selfishness.
And by the way, I just wanted to answer this question because we're the textual relations guy. Says Magic Johnson not elite. What are you smoking? You crazy? No, Magic Johnson was not elite at anything. One aspect of his game, he was an elite physical athlete. He was elite at a group of things. He wasn't just elite at one aspect of his game. He was an elite shooter like Larry Bird.
Wasn't he a pretty elite passer?
Yeah, I'd say
that's what I'm saying. I mean, but if you combined size, speed, shooting, passing, all those things, Magic Johnson, it encompasses point guard. He made everybody around him, but that's why he's the GOAT of point guards.
Michael Jordan was the best mid-range shooter in the NBA, right? And best like pure scorer.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson was never the best in any category in the NBA throughout his career.
Except facilitating.
Right?
Assists.
But Isaiah Thomas was pretty good too.
Yeah, I know.
You know? Like, what,
his charisma, he commanded a room and everybody followed him. That's what makes him the greatest ever.
Yes. Yes, yes. And this is true. LeBron is much better than Westbrook at decision making.
Way better.
And just and better overall player.
And his personality is just way better.
Yeah. All right, 55305. That is the fan text line. Ever since Westbrook bifurcated from Durant and Harden, he's lost his desire to play as a team.
And his team at a macro
touché
level.
Touche. In a vacuum.
In a vacuum.
It is not working.
Bifurcate. Gives me a headache. I'm going to bifurcate from this show.
My God. All right, 55305. Let's get to some NFL. Next hour, we got John Ryan, Seahawks punter, joining us at 7:30. We'll talk bifurcating. We've gotten a day to sit on it. We'll recap some of your thoughts and our thoughts after we let it breathe for a day. But coming up next, the NFL draft, the new hot name vaulting up draft boards. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.